Dodge became conscious. That's the first sentence of Neal Stephenson's Fall, or Dodge in Hell, a novel. I'm Jason Snell, and this is Recently Read. I've read almost every Neal Stephenson book. He is a very good writer with some serious flaws. In fact, I cannot remember the last book of his that I could recommend unreservedly. Dodge in Hell is 892 pages long, which, believe it or not, is kind of short for Neal Stephenson these days. He writes long, long, long books with huge digressions in them. You could make the argument that with an editor, he could write tighter books. I'm not sure if they'd be better, though, because honestly, one of the good things about Stephenson is that he writes interesting digressions. In fact, sometimes I get the idea that the digressions are more interesting than what he's actually writing about. And I've got to be honest, that's pretty much true in terms of Fall or Dodge in Hell. This is a story that you think is one thing, but it turns out by the second half of the book, it's something quite different. The problem is, I liked the digressions at the beginning, and by the time 90% of the content is this other plot, I realized I didn't like that other plot at all. So that's not great. But here's the thing. Before it gets to that second half, Fall is much more interesting. This is, in many ways, a direct follow-on to Rimdi, his previous most notable novel. I think he's written something weird in the meantime, but that's the last novel of his that I read, was Rimdi, which featured two prominent characters who also feature in this, including the title character Dodge, Richard Forthrast, who is a famous inventor of video games that have changed the world. He is the uncle of Zula, who was the arguably the main character in Rimdi. And Zula appears here too, as well as their extended family. Now, I'm going to get into some spoilers, so if you really don't want to know what happens in this book, don't listen any further. But I will tell you, the premise of this book is that Dodge dies. And in fact, in the first paragraph or two, we are given a really boring list of all the minutiae of his life on the last day of his life. It's not good writing, I would say. I think it's boring and not worth it, except that this is the only time we get to spend with him. And I think Neal Stephenson is planting an awful lot of seeds to be paid off later in terms of who Dodge is. Because after he dies, he takes a very important role in the book, believe it or not. So what happens is there is, in the aftermath of his unexpected death, a legal battle involving the predisposition not only of his body, but of his brain. He has signed some documents in a will he made a decade before, suggesting that he wants to have his life prolonged by cryonics. Meanwhile, there have been other attempts to map the connections in the brain to come up with a better way of replicating yourself after death. And we get to see a lot of the kind of arguments back and forth about what the disposition of his body should be, how his family feels about it, how his friends feel about it. There's a really nice portrayal of quiet grief that is undergone by one of his closest friends, Corvallis, in this. He's the executor, essentially, of the will. And all of that is really good. And it shows Neal Stephenson, I'd say, at his best, exploring these weird technical issues while also dealing with the humanity of the situation. There's also another aside, which is set a couple of decades in the future from that. And in that aside, there is a pretty intense, but I thought very entertaining and interesting and cutting portrayal of one future of the United States, where the United States is basically carved up into different geographic segments. There's civilization, and then there's Americastan. And I thought that was chilling and brilliant. And there's a very weird encounter they have with some strange religious fundamentalists. I thought that was great. In fact, I think that's one of the best little segments, best novellas I've read by Neal Stephenson in a long time. Then there's the other part of the book. The basic plot of the book is that they do scan Dodge's brain, and his niece's daughter comes up with a way to reboot it and put it in its own virtual space. Initially, he's all alone, And then eventually he creates his own world, and he's a bit of a god over his own world. And then other people's brains are added to this world. And over time, we spend more and more time dealing with the kind of weird world that exists inside this virtual reality. It's not very interesting. The characters aren't very interesting. Stevenson is telling a fantasy story by way of Greek and Roman mythology. One of the nice things about it is that you keep drawing parallels between the actual world outside the virtual world and what happens on the inside. And as characters die, as the time frame of the book moves forward, they're added, but with only very limited memory of what came before, to the virtual world. And there are ways where machinations and politics and other things that are going on the outside are affecting the insertion of these characters on the inside. But that all said, in the end, the last half of the book is almost entirely told inside this virtual world that I really don't care about, and that I didn't care about the characters or their wandering around this world. He obviously takes great pleasure in building this sort of mythological construction and walking his characters around in it. I thought it was a snooze, and it's a shame. It was a waste of time. There are some interesting things that happen back out in the real world. There's a revelation about a character named Enoch Root, who has appeared in many of Neal Stephenson's books. It basically reveals what his deal is, because he seemed immortal up to now. He keeps appearing in all sorts of different time frames. There is a bit of a resolution there, but boy, you've got to go through a whole lot of fantasy world machinations in order to get back to these lean chapters that take place back in our world. And as a result, I can't really recommend that you read A Fall, even if you're a Neal Stephenson fan. Maybe get it from the library, read that first part, and once it's book two and they're just spending all the time in the mythological fantasy world, if it doesn't work for you from the start, bail out, because there's really nothing more to see there. It's a shame that Neal Stephenson, although I like his writing a lot, just too often he writes 900 pages, and there are about 300 of them that are worth reading. I'm Jason Snell, and this has been Recently Read.